Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Very easy to find, of course. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Our subject this morning is correcting our identity crisis. Correcting our identity crisis. Well, these words, of course, in the book of Genesis, well, indeed, most of the early chapters in the book of Genesis are very much maligned and ridiculed in the modern world. But these words are very treasured by Christian people who believe these words and are blessed by these words. God created man in his own image. And this is something that we ought to believe. If there are any here who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who say that they believe the Bible, well, we ought to believe these things, every single word, not some of the words, every word of God. And so when we come to words such as these, so God created man, we believe them. But of course, it ought to be obvious to us, to everybody, that we are created. It ought to be obvious to the whole world that we did not come about by chance. If you think seriously and deeply about all the things in the world, about how everything works in the world, about how there are laws, even in the atmosphere and so on, laws of gravity and physics, there is no confusion, there is order. Somebody must have created these things and brought order to the universe. When you look around at the animal kingdom, for example, and you see the great diversity of life, and you see how all the animals, well, they are designed. They are tremendously designed. You take a bird, for example, the flight of a bird, how it flies, the wings and the wingspan. This is designed. Well, in fact, human beings, we take our designs for our flying machines from the birds. We look to the birds and then we design our own flying machines. Ought that not to tell us that everything has been designed, not come about by chance? Of course, it ought to be obvious that we have been created. But why does the population, why do so many people not want to believe that we are created nowadays? Well, generally speaking, it's because, well, the scientists say different. The scientists tell us something different. And of course, well, the scientists, they're always right, aren't they? Well, of course, this is probably the best time, or one of the best times in history, to suggest to you that the scientists are not always right. Look at what is going on at the present time. And look at the limitations of science. The scientists don't really know what's going on. How best to protect us from this coronavirus? One scientist says one thing, another scientist says another thing. What are we supposed to do? Where are all the scientists? They're so limited. They don't really know what's going on. They don't really know what to do about it. Can't you see the limitations of science? The best they can do is just guess. Estimate what's going to happen, theories and graphs and so on. They don't actually know anything. And so may I suggest to you that when you have all these scientists who present the origin of life as fact, they don't actually know. That is theory, that is guesswork, just like everything else they do. If they can't work out the coronavirus, which is in our modern time, how can they work out where we all came from? Which is at the dawn of time. They didn't see any of that. They can't even work out what's going on in front of their very eyes. So, dear friends, we believe the word of God. The word of God is true. God doesn't have to guess or estimate what happened at the very beginning. He was there. He knows what happened in creation, and he does not lie to us. He tells us in the word of God, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And let's start to think about what that actually means practically. God made man in his image. Well, what does this mean? Well, it means that we are different to the rest of creation. When God made the seas, they were not in his image. When God made the land, the plants and the trees, they were not in his image. Not even the animals are made in God's image. And this is something we have to address also, because this is very common. People like to say, well, we're all just animals. We all just descend from the animal kingdom. We've all evolved from apes and so on. And that is what so many people believe. And, you know, when you believe that, that has a great impact on human behavior. And it has had a great impact on human society. If you believe that you descend from animals, well, mankind starts to act like animals. And that is what we see in this modern society. Men start to act in a lawless way. You look at the animal kingdom, animals don't operate under law. They don't follow rules. They don't have an understanding of what is right or wrong. They will kill one another to survive without conscience. They will eat the newly hatched eggs of another animal without any conscience. They don't have a moral compass, the animals. They're not under any law. And well, we can see that in society now. Because we believe we're from the animals, men are generally acting in a lawless way. They don't want any rules. They don't want any laws. We want to live like animals. That's what society. We want to be free like animals. We don't want laws. There's no laws in the animal kingdom. They can do what they want. We want to be free like animals. That's the general nature of society now. Without any commitment or responsibility or duty, we want to be free. Without any sense of conscience, it seems. People nowadays, they don't care if they exploit people or manipulate or bully or hurt people. There's no conscience. You see a great breakdown in marriage nowadays, for example. Men and women going from one partner to the next and to the next. They want as many partners as possible. Well, why not, they say to themselves. We're all just animals. Animals have many partners. They go from one to the other to the other. Why should we be any different? Animals don't have to commit. They don't get married. They can just do what they want. And we're just animals. Well, this is what happens. When we believe we are descended from animals, we start to act in exactly the same way. And most alarmingly, perhaps, well, animals are carnal. And what do I mean by that? Animals, they are not spiritual. They live for their bodily needs only, just eating and drinking and mating and so on. They don't think higher than that at all. Animals don't seek the meaning of life. Animals don't seek after God. And well, sadly, this is what society is becoming like. All we live for is just eating and drinking, our bodily pleasures. That's all we're doing. We're not seeking any higher thing. We're not seeking after God. If we believe we are descended from animals, we will act just like them. But dear friends, the word of God says we're not created in the image of animals. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And when we realize this, well, we learn so much about who we are supposed to be. We learn so much about our identity. You know, there's so much talk about identity in society nowadays. There's a great identity crisis, identity politics, and so on. People don't really know who they are anymore. Have you noticed that? We don't really know who we are. Who am I? What am I? What should I be? People don't seem to have a sense of their identity. Youngsters follow celebrities and pop stars, and they dress like them and they act like them because it gives them an identity. They don't seem to have an identity of their own. I have to follow this pop star and be like them. That's my identity. People don't know who they are anymore. There's an identity crisis. Some people, well, they go back to their roots. They go overseas to India, Africa. I have to find myself because they don't have an identity. I need to go back to my country of origin and find myself and find my identity because they don't know who they are. There's an identity crisis. Some even try to change their gender. I'm trapped in the wrong body. I don't know who I am. Let me try changing my gender and then I'll find my true identity. Dear friends, there's a great identity crisis. And why? Well, it's because we've rejected the gospel. We've rejected the Bible, which tells us exactly who we are. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. When you reject the Bible, this is what you get. Nobody knows who they are. This is a very sad state of affairs. But dear friends, why do we reject the Bible? Why have so many turned away from this simple teaching that we are made in the image of God? Well, it is because, very simply, if we accept that we are made in the image of God, well, that puts certain obligations upon us. That puts certain obligations upon us. We have to be like God. We have to resemble God. If we are made in the image of God, well, don't you think that we at least have to resemble him in the way that we are? People don't want to do that. I don't want to be like God. So therefore, they reject any notion, any idea that we have been created in God's image. But this is what we are supposed to be like. We are to be like God. That's what we're supposed to be, our identity. And what is God like? Well, we could speak for a long time about this, but let me just mention one specific thing that's very important. God is holy. God is good. That's what we read in the scriptures. God is pure, God is clean, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. That is what God is like. And so if God is like that, that is what we're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to sin and love sin and break rules and break the laws of God. We are supposed to be holy as God is holy. And really, we all know that deep within ourselves. You all know that we are supposed to be clean and pure. You know, we are not like the animals. We have a conscience within us. And when we do good things, and everybody does good things, when we do good things, our conscience is glad. It's pleased. It's silent. But when we do bad things, when we lie, when we steal, when we're selfish, when we're ungrateful, when we're hateful, when we're uninterested in God, then your conscience speaks. Then your conscience tells you you're not supposed to be like this. And your conscience is troubled. Your own conscience within you tells you what your true identity ought to be. And we're not supposed to be sinning. We're not supposed to be loving our sin and turning away from God and doing whatever we want to do. We're supposed to be right with God. We're supposed to be reconciled to God. That is how we are supposed to be made in his image, walking after holiness. We're not supposed to be sinners. But here's the question that a lot of people ask, and it's a legitimate question, and maybe some of you are asking this now. If God made us in his image, and God is good, why are we then all sinners? Because, well, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're all sinners. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all fall short of God's holy standard. Well, if God made us in his image, why are we so bad? Why are we sinners? That's what people say. What happened? Well, when you read the account of Genesis, and we haven't got time to go through it all, we read what happened. We read what went wrong. We read of Adam, the first man. Adam is the father of us all. You see, if you want to find out about your roots, about your true identity, you don't have to go to your country of origin. You have to go back to the Bible. Because Adam is the father of us all. We've all descended from Adam, whether we're white, black, Asian. If you want to know your roots, you go back to the Bible and to the story of Adam. And what do we learn about Adam? Well, Adam was created good. He was created upright and without sin. He was a perfect man in a perfect environment. But we all know what happened next. He sinned against God. He did that thing which God told him not to do. He took the forbidden fruit and he sinned against God. And when he sinned against God, well, it was like he smashed that image of God in him. He was made in the image of God, but when he sinned, it's like he smashed it. You know, you can stand in front of a mirror, and if the mirror is intact, you will see a perfect reflection of yourself. But if you break the mirror, you will see only a distorted vision, a distorted view of yourself. And that's what Adam did. When he sinned against God, it's like he smashed that image of God in him. And it was a broken image. And every child of Adam, all of us, now all that we have is a broken image of God in us because of our sin, because we are sinners. But dear friends, I must move on because time is running on. Let me tell you something else about being made in the image of God. And this is very important. Being made in the image of God means that we are supposed to live. We are supposed to live, not die. God is life, the author of life, the source of life. God is not death. And so if we are made in the image of God, we are not supposed to die. We were not supposed to live just 70 years on this earth and then die. We were made in the image of God to live. And the only way to live truly eternally is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the only way that we may live. Christ, well, we know about Christ. He is the true image of God. The true image of God. Remember what he said to one of his disciples, Philip, in John chapter 14, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the perfect image of God. I'm not a broken image like Adam. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. God the Father and God the Son, they are one. And he is the way to eternal life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is he the way to eternal life? Well, in order for us to live eternally, someone must die in our place. Someone must take the punishment for our sin. In order for us to live, somebody must die. And that's what Christ has done. He has died in our place. He has taken the punishment for all the sins that we have committed. He has died so that we may live eternally with God forever. Our true calling, our true place in life is to be with God forever, not living just on this earth and then dying. Our true identity is to be with God. Are you going to claim that identity this day? Are you going to put your trust and faith in Christ? Or are you going to go around in this world, in this earth, going from one identity to the other? Looking after pop stars and so on. Dear friends, any identity that you have in this world is only a temporary identity. You may be young now, a teenager. You know that's only temporary. You won't be a teenager very long. You'll grow up. You'll get a job. You may be a lawyer, a doctor, or whatever else. You know that's only temporary. You won't always be that. When you retire, you'll be a pensioner. That's only temporary. You won't remain a pensioner your whole life, your whole journey through. The difference, if you come to Christ, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are born again and you confess your sins to God and you repent of all your sin, you will be a redeemed, blood-bought child of God, and that will be your identity forever. Nobody will ever take that identity away from you. You'll never lose it. Your true identity. God made us in His image. You're going to claim that identity today, even this day. You may come to the Lord, you may pray to Him, forsaking all other identities, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be reconciled to God, you can be restored to that true image, but it's only through Christ Jesus our Lord. These things are tremendous. We exhort you to these things. Dear friends, if you are not right with God, if you don't trust in Christ, hear these words. Does not your own conscience tell you, even now? Does not your own conscience within you tell you that you ought to come to Christ? You ought to come to Christ. You're not supposed to reject Christ. Does not your own conscience tell you? You're not an animal, dear friends. You have a soul with a conscience, and that conscience is troubled, is restless until you come to Christ, because that's where we're supposed to be. God created man in the image of God. So we turn to Christ that our image in God's sight may be blessed and sinless and holy. So this is the lesson from today. Let's just read those words in verse 27 once again. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Don't be confused concerning your identity, who you are, what you need to be. This is it right here in the Word of God. Embrace Christ and you will be eternally blessed. Well, let us turn in our hymn books to hymn number 395. Hymn number 395. This will help us as we close this morning. Hymn 395. Loosed from my God and far removed, long have I wandered to and fro through life in endless circles round, not finding peace and rest below. To Thee, my God, at last I fly. O bless me, Saviour, now draw nigh. Selfish pursuits and pleasure's maze, the things of earth for Thee I leave. Stretch forth Thy pardoning hand of grace, and my lost life to Thee receive. Take this unstable soul of mine, and make it, Saviour, ever Thine. Fill me with life and love and peace. Establish and keep my settled heart. In Thee may all my wanderings cease. From Thee no more may I depart. Thy utmost kindness may I prove, loved with an everlasting love. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank Thee for Thy word, how we thank Thee for the teaching of it, that we have been created in the image of God, and that we belong with Him. O dear Lord, restore us each one through faith in Christ Jesus. He is the only way back to God. May we not waste time in this life with mistaken and false identities, not finding peace and rest here below. But dear Lord, draw nigh unto us, show us the way back to thyself, that way to peace and joy and everlasting love. O Lord, come, we pray, and save us each one. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.